A reading from Acts. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man from Macedonia pleading with him, saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We set sail from Troas and took straight course to Samothrace through the day and to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is the leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in the city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer. And we sat down and spoke to the woman who gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. The word of the Lord. We will read the Psalms responsively. Please read the bold print. May God be merciful to us and bless us. May the light of God's face shine upon us.
Let your way be known upon earth, your saving health among all nations.
Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you.
The earth has brought forth its increase. God, our own God, has blessed us.
May God give us blessing, and may all the ends of the earth stand in awe. A reading from Revelation. And in the Spirit, one of the angels carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God. I saw no temple in the city, for its temple was the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God is its light, and the lamp is the Lamb. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. Its gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. People will bring into glory and the honor of the nations. But nothing unclean will enter it, nor anyone who practices abomination or falsehood, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, which has a crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, through the middle of the street of the city. On either side of the river is a tree of life with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing fruit each month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. The word of the Lord.
Now he is living. The Holy Gospel according to St. John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus answered Judas, not Iscariot, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and he will come to them and make our home with them. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not let them be afraid. You've heard me say to you, I am going away, and I am coming to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to the Father, because the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it occurs, so that when it does occur, you may believe." Beloved children of God, this is the good news, the gospel of our Lord. May be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In our first lesson from Acts of the Apostles, there's a cry for help. Paul has a vision of a man of Macedonia pleading with Paul and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Paul immediately acts when he receives this cry for help. In my critique of our society's rugged individualism as being contrary to the Christian life, what we see in our lesson from Acts today is the Christian response when someone needs help, and that we too must be willing to ask for help when we need help. Do we immediately act when someone is in need and asking us to help them? And how quick are we to ask for help ourselves? How long does something have to be bothering us before we ask the doctor for help? Before GPS, how long and often did we get lost because we were hesitant to ask for help? I just witnessed a back and forth between generations when someone of a younger generation asked someone of an older generation what they did before GPS. And the older generation's response was, "We got lost." That's what we did before GPS. We got lost. Our pride, right? Asking for help felt so humiliating that we'd rather be lost. We're taught to always care for ourselves, to be self-sufficient always. That's seen as a strength. Rather than getting a cup of sugar from your neighbor, borrowing a tool from your neighbor, creating that culture and economy of reciprocity where we're neighborly towards one another, we've become isolated, thinking I could do it by myself all the time. When we isolate ourselves into believing that lie that I alone can do everything, we become our own God. The good news rings hollow when our faith is centered on our capabilities and not on what God has done and God is doing. And it's only a matter of time when we keep telling ourselves, I alone can do everything, that we realize I'm alone. When my faith is centered on me and taking care of me, then I do not have any time to help anyone else. I'm too distracted. I'm too consumed with myself, which means there's also no time to share the love of Jesus because I'm consumed with me. In Acts chapter 16, Lydia needed something. She was a worshiper of God, but she needed something more. This is a very capable woman. Pastor Sarah Tevis Towns reminds us that Lydia was one of the founders of the Church of Philippi, which was in her house. And it grew and became one of the most influential churches in early Christianity. Lydia seems to be a businesswoman, head of her household. And as a businesswoman who dealt in purple cloth was reserved for the emperor and other powerful people. Lydia was influential and successful, yet she still needed help. And we acknowledge that Ezra Harris, who will be baptized this morning, as you can hear, still needs help. And this is a communal affair. We have parents, we have baptismal sponsors, we have family, friends, we have the people of God surrounding Ezra with prayer and promising to support him, to help him in his walk of faith. The reason we want all the baptized to live among God's faithful people so they have people to turn to when they need help. The reason we want the baptized to be centered in the Word of God and to partake in the Holy Supper is because we want them to know that there are these tangible means of grace in which they can turn to God and receive the living God for help and support in their time of need. The reason we want them to know the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, the Ten Commandments, to be nurtured in the Holy Scriptures and a life of prayer is that they might be anchored in their own life, knowing where to go for help, trusting in God, that regardless of what's going on in their life, they can be grounded in hope. That is our desire and prayer for Ezra, that his life flourishes from a place of nourishment in the faith. And in the world, our desire is that Ezra and all the baptized would proclaim the love of Christ in word and deed, and that those who would need help could instinctively turn to Ezra, because he would be anchored. He would know where to get support in his own life, because he knows how to ask for help. And that they could look to someone like Ezra, to someone like you all, and say, I need help. Can you help me? And to whatever vocation God calls him to, and all the vocations that we're called to, that we might work for justice and peace in all the world. Now, to be clear, this is not about Ezra being a good person, but enabling him to know that he's part of a new creation, and that his life becomes a signpost of the kingdom of heaven that would point people to where they could find true help and freedom, which is Jesus Christ. And that through the love he shares, through the love that we all share, they would not only receive the help that they need, but that they would get a glimpse of heaven on earth. This way of life calls us to be in community and not isolation. It calls us to ask for help and to provide help to those who need it. Because the forces of evil in this world know how people long to belong, and that they nurture that with words of hate and violence. Just recently, there was a shooting and death at a Taiwanese church in Laguna Woods, California. And the motive of the shooter was that he had hatred towards Taiwanese people. In Buffalo, New York, there was a mass shooting and death that occurred at a supermarket, particularly targeting African Americans, with that intent being racially motivated. I believe that the perpetrators of such violence are nurtured by communities of hate and are fed a steady diet of fear that enables them to carry out such actions. As the church, our response must be to weed out the fear and the hate that seeks to even penetrate our own walls. We begin by not living in isolation, but always seeking to help those who are isolated and neglected in our world. If I am only focused on myself and my own capabilities, then the isolated and neglected do not receive the help that they need. They continue to suffer. They're subject and susceptible to being drawn into those words and those communities of hate and violence. Some of them can fall prey to that fear and hate, only to be exposed and focused on our own capabilities. We're not living into a new creation. We're not being signposts of the kingdom of heaven. But the good news is that we can be centered on a new economy of divine love, realizing that we're never alone when it comes to the love of God that we know in Jesus Christ. If Lydia would have focused on her own capabilities, her conclusion in life is that life is nothing more than a series of transactions. It's just buying and selling. But the economy of God doesn't work that way. Her capabilities, her success in the world, what she was able to produce, is not contingent upon Jesus loving her unconditionally. That when we need help and turn to the cross, we're reminded of the love that knows no bounds. And the ability to belong is not contingent upon what we do, but on the work and faithfulness of Christ. It's a response to that love, that we can love one another as Christ has loved us. As we heard in the gospel, those words of Jesus, when we keep his word, that we have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to remind us that when it comes to Jesus, we can take comfort in those words from Jesus. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. We become the antithesis of fear and hate in this world when we live counterculturally by being able to ask for help from others and ask God for help, to also be able to provide help to those in need. Our life is not based on transactions, but on living a life that is as gracious as our Lord's is towards us. Lydia shows us that in the baptized life, one who is being served immediately serves. That's what she does at the end of Acts. She welcomes Paul and company into the home and serves them. The baptized immediately serve. So someone's going to have to break the news to Ezra that he's going to get to work in living into this new creation as a member of the body of Christ. In Christ, when we need help, we are not devalued, but we're reminded that we're loved. In Christ, in moments of weakness, we look to the strength of Christ in his weakness on the cross and know that in Christ, we are strong. In Christ, when we are asked to provide help, we give not from our privilege and not from our success. We give first and foremost from a place of faith. And in Christ, when the world has judged us to be unimportant, irrelevant, and tries to neglect us, may you all know that in Christ you are essential now and forever. Thanks be to God.